understanding of his own as well as man's in general insignificance and sinfulness, in Psalm chapter 8, David asks God this question: what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Later, as David was established as king of Israel in Jerusalem, the prophet Nathan came to him and told him that God was going to establish his kingdom, his throne, his descendants, and bless them forever. David's response is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. It says, "Then King David went and sat before the Lord. And he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you have brought me this far?'" David had a true sense of the amazing grace of God, that grace that God shows to unworthy sinners. And yet later, while dealing with great trials and difficulties and affliction, David had come to understand God's grace even more fully. And he could write the 23rd Psalm, claiming the sovereign God as his personal shepherd. That God is watching over him, caring for him, protecting him, even professing that he lacks nothing that he has need of. The first four stanzas, David describes the wonderful personal care of the shepherd. And then as we come to the fifth stanza, David addresses the shepherd directly, and the imagery changes slightly. And David pictures the sheep as a guest at a banquet. And the shepherd himself is the host. And he continues to describe the wonderful care and goodness of the shepherd toward his sheep. The pasture has become a glorified table, exquisitely spread with the finest of food. Grass becomes a banquet feast, and water becomes a fine wine. Even as all around the edges of the meadow, hungry, salivating wolves and lions look on from a distance, eager to devour the sheep. But the shepherd keeps them at bay. And then at this wonderful banquet, the shepherd does something else. David says, "He anoints my head with oil, and he fills my cup to overflowing." The word that he uses here for oil is not the usual word for anoint. Excuse me, the word he uses for anoint is not the usual word for anoint. In fact, this is the only place in the Old Testament that it's so translated. It's used elsewhere, but it's always translated fat. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 20. "When I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey," God says, "of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat." And it's the same word as Psalm 23. "Then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant." Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of a lazy man desires, but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." And it's that same word, fat. Proverbs 28:25, "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts the Lord will be prospered," is how the New King James Version puts it. But it's that same word, fat. Shall be made fat. So the sense of the word that the psalmist uses here, anoint with oil, is a sense of abounding in plenty, prospering and being made rich. This word that that David uses for oil is commonly translated olive oil, but it also literally means fat oil. So the sense of this phrase is, the good shepherd makes my head fat with fat oil. Now, we don't think in terms of fat being a good thing unless you're a lover of bacon. In those days, fat was seen as a good thing because it was the exception. It was a sign of prosperity, of doing well, of God's blessing. And because of his blessing, we're growing fat, you see. It's also interesting to notice that in all of the sacrifices, God always got the fat. The meat might have been shared of the sacrifice, depending upon the sacrifice, but even then, God always got the fat. So in the Old Testament, God's blessing of the righteous are described in terms of fat. So Psalm 92:14 says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Same word. Proverbs 28:25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be made fat. Some background to this anointing with oil of the sheep might be helpful here, since it's not something that we do. Pouring olive oil on the heads of the sheep would be done often by shepherds in those days. It sounds strange to us, but it was an effective medicine back then, before the days of penicillin and other medicines that we have today. The oil would effectively repel parasites and promote healing and protect against infection. Yes, a shepherd would even rub the nose and face of his sheep with the olive oil. It would help keep the flies and insects away and stop them from pestering the sheep. Pestering of livestock is still a problem, isn't it? We don't use olive oil. We use other things today, but it's still something that we could understand. But this olive oil on the sheep's face was soothing and a calming agent for them. The Good Samaritan, you will recall the story in the New Testament, the parable of Jesus, came upon a man who was beaten and wounded at the side of the road. And one of the things he did in ministering to him was to pour olive oil on his wounds. Something else to notice is that the good shepherd does not skimp on this expensive olive oil. He pours out so much, the psalmist says, that my head becomes fat. David repeats this through a similar line. It's typical Hebrew poetry. It's called parallelism. So the first line is, he anoints my head, making it fat. He anoints my head with oil. The second phrase, which is parallel, saying the same thing in a different way, he fills my cup so that it runs over. Some Christians are under the mistaken notion that God is stingy, that God is reluctant to bless me, that he holds back goodness from me. But David is reflecting upon God's goodness, his abundance of blessing to his people. He doesn't just anoint us with oil. He makes our head fat with oil. He drenches his sheep with goodness and blessing. The phrase runs over is one word. It means to be saturated to overflowing. It's said that years ago, when the Bedouins were entertaining a guest in the desert, they would pour them a cup of wine, and they would pour until the cup ran over. A way of saying there's plenty of everything for you while you're my guest. There are two pictures of what David is talking about here in Psalm 23:5. in the scriptures that I would like to point your attention to. The first is Moses' brother, Aaron. He was appointed by God as high priest. So he had a certain function, spiritual, religious function for the people of Israel as the mediator between sinners and a holy God. And he in that office is a type of Christ. And the Lord gave instructions on the installation of Aaron as high priest. We find it in Leviticus chapter 8, beginning with verse 2. And God instructs Moses, take Aaron and his sons, because this was a perpetual office for the children and descendants of Aaron. Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil. And by the way, the word that's used here in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 2, the anointing oil, as it's translated, is the same word that we find in Psalm 23:5. A bull is a sin offering, two rams, a basket of unleavened bread. And he put the tunic on him, that is, Moses put the tunic on Aaron, girded him with a sash, clothed him with a robe, a special high priestly robe, and put an ephod on him, and he girded him with the intricately woven band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate, and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban, on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then verse 12. Moses poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Now, as we go to Psalm 133, verse 2, David becomes more descriptive of this. It is like the precious oil, Psalm 133 says. And again, it's that same Hebrew word. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down even on the edge of his garments. And it pictures Aaron in all of his beautiful priestly robes and insignias, as Moses installs him by anointing him with oil that pours down, that fragrant spiced olive oil, over his head so generously that it runs down his beard, then onto his robes, even onto his feet. Not just a dab of oil. That's how we might do it, right? But in abundance, an overflowing anointing of oil. That's the idea of Psalm 23. Now, as we move to the New Testament, there's another picture of anointing. It's a picture of Jesus Christ being anointed in Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as Jesus sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. And then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. So this woman anointed Jesus' head with pure oil of spikenard, very costly. Not just a dab behind the ear, but a year's income worth. And like Aaron, the high priest, Jesus, our high priest, was drenched with it as well, and it ran off his head, onto his beard, and onto his robe. And just a few hours later, that fragrance still clinging to his robes. You recall the soldiers gambled. King James says, they cast lots. They gambled for that fragrant robe as they crucified him. This is how David pictures God's goodness to him, to us. As a shepherd anointing his sheep with an abundance of oil and of a cup overflowing. And it's because our shepherd pours out blessing upon us in abundance, overflowing and engulfing us. Remember Jesus' first miracle? If you think carefully, his first miracle, the wedding at Cana. And what happened there? Well, the planning was poor, and so they ran out of wine. What did Jesus do? He told them to fill water pots to the brim. And then he miraculously turned that water into wine. And later, the head of the feast took some and he said, well, this is the best wine I've ever tasted. Why did you save it for last? Usually you give it first. That is our good shepherd. That's his style, if you will. That's his nature. To abundantly bless us. To pour out upon us until our cup is overflowing. So easy to dwell on the bad things of life. The decay of society and of America. The wickedness of the powerful. The difficulties of life. Our problems, our aches, our pains, our defeats, our setbacks. But that's how it's been since Adam rebelled against God. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, we write our sorrows in marble and our mercies in sand. But this is not how it should be for Christians. For God's people, the sheep of the pasture of the good shepherd, there should be a thankful and a cheerful spirit. That should be the norm, not the exception. Because our shepherd blesses us beyond description. Our cup overflows as he drenches us with good things. Psalm 119, 156. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. We should recall, as we consider Psalm 23 and the life of David, that from a purely physical sense, David never experienced abundance. You'll recall that as a boy, he was sent off into the hills by himself to tend the sheep, while his brothers and family went on about their business, enjoying home. He lived outdoors. He dealt with threats to his sheep. He fought off bears and lions that were intent upon harm to him and his sheep. Life was challenging for David even as a teen. His cup did not seem to be overflowing, did it? And then he became the king's son-in-law. He was in the public eye. He was a successful warrior. He faced life and death encounters with the Philistines and pagan enemies, till even his father-in-law, King Saul, chased him all over Israel seeking to kill him. Well, finally he became king. And yet even as king, he was under constant pressure from his enemies. First, there were the remnants of Saul's army. Then the Philistines and other enemy neighbors. And he went from war to war to war his entire life. So that God described him as a bloody man. And David finally dealt with rebellion and death within his own family as Absalom rose up against him and sought his life. How could this man, how could David say, my cup runs over with blessing? It surely wasn't overflowing outwardly, was it? David is the psalmist who wrote Psalm 69:14. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me. And out of the deep waters, let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut its mouth about me. Oh, you can sense the despair and the struggle there, can't you? How could this David say that his shepherd pours out precious oil upon his head and that his cup is overflowing with blessing? It's because David did not count his blessings by the days of peace or the softness of his bed. True shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, prosperity, wholeness, was not in the abundance of things. It was not in the accumulation of gold, but spiritual. David counted abundance by his relationship with the Lord. Psalm 16:11, you shall show me the path of life in your presence. And he's talking to God, his heavenly Father. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I tell you, wealth is overrated. You've probably read how unhappy Meghan Markle is. Even though she's now royalty, a part of the richest, one of the richest families in the world. And yet she's unhappy. It's interesting that our nation has become wealthier, as our nation has become wealthier. Citizens more prosperous, living more comfortably than probably 99% of the people that have ever lived. We have become less satisfied, more unhappy, less righteous, more prone to evil, more suicides, and less interested in God. In fact, material blessings tend to draw us away from Christ. Less inclined to live by faith. More likely to be self-centered. And we have become more like the world and less like Christ. Instead, like David, we need to look to the spiritual blessings of God that he has poured out upon us, overflowing. We need to recognize the overflowing generosity of our good shepherd. That's why Paul could command us, rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. And he could do it from prison, having been beaten and chained in the dungeon. Why? Because though we be in prison, or beaten, or poor, or destitute, if Christ is our shepherd, our cup runs over. Because in Christ our shepherd, we have all we need. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Between here and heaven, there is nothing that we need that our good shepherd cannot and will not supply for us. He forgives our horrible, wicked sins. He's preparing an eternal home for us in heaven. His Spirit indwells us and guides us and strengthens us. We even have access to God the Father. We come not as mere creatures. We come as children of the living God. And we can come. God commands us. We can come to Him boldly. Boldly. He is a Father who promises and blesses and cares for us. In the 1560s, the Duke of Alva was sent by the King of Spain, named Philip, to quell the Protestant rebellion in the Netherlands. Well, he was a man who did not keep his word. And having gotten the situation under hand, he promised to spare the lives of some of the Protestant leaders. And then when he had them, he denied them food so that they starved to death. That is the opposite of our Good Shepherd. He does not give us eternal life and then deny us that which is needful of securing it or enjoying it. He keeps His promises. Our God, our Shepherd, fulfills His covenant promises to His people. Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. As the sheep of His pasture, your cup runs over with good things, His abundant blessings, and His grace. But more than that, it runs over because the infinite God Himself is yours. In Psalm 42:11, a helpful reminder of this: why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. What could you want more than the living God? As your heavenly Father, as your loving Savior, as your good Shepherd, the eternal, omnipotent God who created all things by the word of His mouth is yours, is your Shepherd. Your cup runs over because of the abundance of His gifts. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And all of these earthly things that He'd been talking about will be added unto you. Your cup runs over because your Shepherd gives like a rich king. Spiritual blessings that are innumerable. Physical blessings as needed and beyond. As Jesus explained, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That abundance is not found in the trinkets of the world, only in your Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. When King Henry VIII of England became engaged to Anne of Cleves, he'd never met her. It was a political type arrangement. So he sent an artist over to Europe to paint her picture. And the picture came back and he looked at the picture and he was charmed and excited and anticipating the marriage. But then he saw Anne in person. And he was extremely disappointed, because the painter had not been truthful. Anne was not what he had portrayed. That is not the case with our Good Shepherd. The best that you can do to describe His glory, His goodness, His blessings, His loving kindness, falls short of reality, does not overstate it. In fact, Paul speaks of the things of glory as being inexpressible. He writes to the Ephesian church that not only does God save us, but in Christ we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and that's only the beginning. The abundance of God goes beyond saving us from hell. It's all in accordance, Paul says, with the riches of His grace. We have a shepherd who not only died for us, but loves us and blesses us daily and beyond measure. He anoints your head, Christian, generously with the oil of gladness. Your cup overflows with His blessing. Just like the oil that ran down Aaron's head and beard onto his clothing and even down to his feet. So, Christian, stop looking at the difficulties in your life, the hard things, the afflictions, the things that you don't have but think you need. Instead, look to your shepherd and give thanks. Give thanks for the abundance of His grace and His blessings that are yours in Him. Give thanks for the undeserved grace that you have in Christ, for God's unmerited favor. Have you ever thought that God does not give you what you deserve? Give thanks for the overflowing gifts that He continues to pour out upon you. Physical gifts, yes. But more than that, more important than that, spiritual gifts that He continues to pour into your overflowing cup.